Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is this going straight into the desk? Is that desk? Because me and on our podcast, we record into Audacity, which is a testing piece of kit.
That goes into that, and it's all
goes
on
into
the
that.
Thing.
And then actually, I edit in Final Cut, which so is
loads
really
of people
a video
have actually started buying these software, but since they see us using them because they're really good kit bits of kit.
Beautiful bit of kit.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Mr. Danny Ward.
Here I am.
You were just sticking something up your nose. Is that a first offence?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I told you about that.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff.
I thought we were not telling anyone else about it to give us a competitive edge.
Good point. Cut that out. Cut that out.
Share it with Ben, but not
yeah, well, we've got a guest episode, so Ben Vandervelde is now in the First Defence Club by accident.
It's not a cure for the common cold, but it's not far off.
So it's like genuinely what it's called?
Yeah. First Defence.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke about he's using performance-enhancing drugs on the podcast and the podcast authorities will come down on you like a ton of bricks for that.
Technically, he is. Shall we go talk about it?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll give away one of our little secrets. Yeah. It works, right? Whenever you start to get a sniffle or a cold coming, you know, a little bit of a sore throat, use that stuff and it just goes away. And I can't understand why that is a cure. Well, why doesn't if everyone did that, colds wouldn't exist.
You talk about it. I got some. I had a sniffle or something in the back of the throat, stuck up me bugle and went away.
Yeah, so I mean, that's how it works.
Surely it's probably being suppressed like electric cars were by the oil industry. So like big Kleenex.
Big lockets.
Big lockets, exactly. Lose so much if that was actually available. Because you get it, black market, right?
Yeah.
No, that's
under the counter.
In boots.
Well, it's a bit like they've invented the everlasting light bulb. No one wants to sell it there, do they?
But oh, right, I see what you mean.
That's
why they don't push it, so you wouldn't have to buy all the other stuff.
Could well be, yeah.
Oh, could do a documentary about this. Yeah, this is great.
It's quite good.
I just don't understand it. That's a cure of a cold. So, okay, cold spread because people sneeze and spread the germs, right?
Yeah.
So if everyone that started to get a cold took that and they didn't get a cold, that would just wipe out the cold, right?
There we go. And what's next? Hunger.
One step at a time, mate. One step at a time. So we're joined by Ben Vandervelde.
Hey.
Hello. He's in the house. We've been trying to do this for ages, haven't
we? Yeah,
we're just busy people, aren't we?
Very busy people.
What's been happening?
What has been happening?
I don't think I've seen you since last train home. Last
laugh train laugh, home.
Laugh,
yeah. Laugh, laugh train home.
Mark.
When you were, so that was. We just go carriage to carriage doing artisanal jokes to the passengers.
Have you ever done that?
I've
just
no
sort of rocked
that.
Up in. I think I've seen videos of people like on aeroplanes, someone's sort of got up and done a gig before. Have they
not? That's
things like that.
Unspeakable. I would throw them at the airlock.
Maybe I've made that up.
I have not. I've done two things. I used to do immersive theatre stuff because a couple of mates who did it. And when King's Cross, when some part of it was reopened, they had like loads of people dressed as Victorian street urchins and street performers. And they were like, can you do anything? I was like, I can juggle two balls. And I refashioned myself as a street comedian. They had like, you know, those little trains that you take toddlers on that just go up and down.
Yeah.
So they had one of those. So I would jump on the side of that and basically tell terrible jokes to people until they gave me money to go away.
Wow.
And I did that for 4 hours.
That's pretty cool.
That's been done then.
Yeah. I did do a gig on an aeroplane, but the audience weren't on board.
Let me I found it.
There we go, lovely. Nice little sound effect.
You'll have to imagine what that sounds like, Ben.
Yeah.
What do you reckon it was?
Like a groan? Surely a groan.
How fucking dare you?
The sound of an engine failing.
It was a badum tush.
Yeah, boom.
Oh, great.
Old school.
Oh, it's one of my favourite proper jokes of two elephants and a snake fall out of a tree. Boom.
I've only ever heard two elephants and boom boom. But that boom, what was this?
The snake, it's...
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, you could have the hi-hat.
Someone's developed that joke. Because originally it was just boom, boom.
Well, should we keep adding animals?
Two elephants fall out of a tree, boom, boom. That doesn't work, mate.
No. Like, yeah, what are you talking about? What about Basil Brush? He used to go boom, boom.
Yeah.
So two elephants fall out of a tree, boom, boom.
Right.
Is that right?
I'm not sure it works out at the end with the snake, but couldn't be wrong.
But you're having a go at Basil.
But that isn't the setup to Babel's boom, boom, is it?
No, it's not. Also, Basil's for an older generation of comics. No, they're a different thing.
I'll be honest with you, I'd never have watched Basil Brush. I know that's something they used to say.
It is. It's just catchphrase.
Yeah. So, I can't remember.
We were chatting about Laugh Train Home, which is a gig that I...
that was it.
How the fuck did we get to Basil Brush's catchphrase? That's his catchphrase.
It will happen. It will happen.
It's like one of your fable maker shows. Yeah. Just start with one thing and then...
That is the aim of those. Yeah, man.
So what was the vibe with coming up with that as an idea? Because that's an improvised show. So was that, you just, because you do a lot of that stuff in comparing, but that's not comparing, is it? That's trying to create a thing, right?
Yeah. So the idea of the show is that I create a brand new story every night using crowd work with the audience to turn them into characters in a story. Because I do lots of comparing, but the kind of comparing I like the best is when I don't go, where are you from? What do you do? It's that I riff off what people are wearing and...
Yeah. Make it different. Yeah.
Make it different every time. And it tends to be, if an audience get what you're doing, so what happens with the Fable Maker shows, after 5 minutes, they're like, oh, this is a good compare. And then 15 minutes in, they're like, oh, holy shit, there's a story.
Yeah, right.
And then 25 minutes in, they're like, he doesn't have any jokes. This is insane. But if they're on board, they start contributing stuff and becoming part of the character.
So the more you do it, if there never been any stock jokes that you do in it, because you know such and such will happen, or is it all you just riff the whole thing?
Ideally, I riff the whole thing. Like I read loads of stuff around story structure and three act structure and five act structure.
Oh, right. Cool.
And there's a thing that I learned to make it work, that if, you know what it's like, if you're riffing with an audience, you think of a good line, you say it straight away.
Yeah.
But what I learned is in the first 10 minutes, if I think of what I know will be a brilliant joke about the hero, I've got to save it for the end. Because the way stories often work is that the resolution at the ending is found at something at the beginning.
Oh.
So I have to sort of
almost
like...
building in a callback.
It's essentially, it's like when the shows, when I can't think of a good ending, I just rain down callbacks on them.
Yeah.
But which is like, because when the show really works, it's like a magic trick.
Yeah, do you ever, like, just your brain just be a bit sleepy and then it's a nightmare? Because I can imagine if
you can't go into autopilot with it.
No.
You can't just,
exactly
can't
that.
Can you? Because for me, if I knew, I don't know, I feel like just one of those days where your brain just isn't firing. What happens then?
Well, I mean, the thing is, if it's a
club
gig...
the adrenaline just kicks in.
I reckon 85% of the time, Doctor Theatre kicks in and you're off and going.
Yeah.
But there are... I'll be like, well, I'm just going to do material at you. But there are times when I just wish I was Mike Wilmot. Not just because Uncle Mike is such a good comedian, but because he's a grouchy man.
Yeah.
So if he's not feeling it, he can go on stage and be a grouchy man.
Whereas,
you know, certainly you and me, we're fairly upbeat.
Mm. Yeah.
Danny, you less so, but
yeah, you do get a little bit angry at times in your set these days.
You do. You're an exasperated
on purpose.
Man.
Yeah.
I know. I'm very relaxed.
Exasperated. That's a good word.
No. Don't you like it?
Like you just can't believe something's happened. How would you describe it then? What you do? As in your because you're annoyed at things, aren't you? At the end of your set, you are. But I suppose
I'll have exasperated.
Yeah,
as a verb.
I think that's a good.
Sure.
What happens if the audience aren't biting? Have you got any sort of techniques to
I guess that depends. Is the difference between like if they bought tickets to a show called Fablemaker, or
yeah, I guess if they're coming to see the show in Edinburgh and they see it's called Fablemaker, they read the blurb.
It'd be their own fault.
You would
ever...
be amazed. Right. In fact, you wouldn't, because you've been to the Fringe at how little they pay attention. So my first ever show at the Fringe was called Chain Letter, and it was sort of like a Dave Gormley kind of show where I turned myself into a human chain letter. The poster was me dressed as Postman Pat, and still, generally on a Saturday. Yeah. The poster was better than the show. But,
we've all been there, Ben.
Yeah. It's all about the delivery, though, isn't it?
It is. Oh, yes, please. That was first class.
And another one.
But yeah, on a Saturday.
Sorry, it's a bit late.
I'd come out and I'd start doing jokes about the postal service, and you could see people going, "What are you doing this for?" And I'm like, "But the name of the show and the poster. What's wrong with you?"
Yeah. Yeah. It's remarkable what the people's inability to focus and pay attention.
Yeah. So I did
the decision stage.
So have you had any times when you're doing an hour and they're not biting and you're like, "This is going to be long."
Yeah. I'll put it at 48.
The last show of the run in Edinburgh. And it was hard because it was like certainly the last Saturday, because it got really, really warm in the venue. But I did it and they just gave me nothing. And so I started trying to riff in a filthy way. They weren't into that. I started trying to be silly. I started trying to see if I could sort of riff observational stuff. None of it was working. So after sort of like 25 minutes, I was like, screw it. Let's just start doing material. That didn't work. So after another 10 minutes, I was like, well, I'm going to start doing like bum bum jokes. And that didn't work. And then
bum bum.
Yeah. Sorry, bum bum jokes. And then I lost my temper with a room full of strangers.
Is it?
Did that work?
I mean, it made me feel better. It didn't work.
But some just aren't, you can't win.
I was going to say, did you find the weekend audiences, for some reason, less playful?
Yeah, 100%.
Weird, isn't it?
And it's because there's some bits of, I can't think of the right word, like context or the conditions of a gig you can't get away from. Like, so Dara Brian's got his book Tickling the English, which is basically a gig diary. And he talks about, like, even for Dara, when he's playing like 1,000 people in a massive theatre, he's like, but sometimes it's just a Tuesday and you can't get over the fact that it's just a Tuesday.
And he does do a lot of riffing, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's one of my favourites. Because what I love about him is it's all positive riffing. It's all building people up and making them feel good about themselves. Mm. And also he does it with love. So if you say something with love, you can then, if you want to, tear into someone because you're doing it with love.
Yeah. So when was the last time you did a show that wasn't a riffing show?
Like a solo show.
Yeah.
That was the year before. So I last did Fablemaker at the Fringe in 2019, although I've sort of...
haven't been up since?
Well, no, because there was...
pandemic.
It was pandemic.
What's that then?
I've repurposed it now, so I'm working on it. I've got Katie Pritchard doing improvised music, and I did have Olaf Falafel being a live illustrator.
Blimey.
And he's too busy, so I've got a new live illustrator now called
Tom
Crowley.
That's really cool.
Wow, that does sound cool. Sounds like not tech heavy, but it sounds like there's more considerations than just you.
Oh yeah, totally. But it's nice. It also means I've got backup, because they're both funny people. So if I need someone else,
and
will
they be mic'd
ideas,
up?
Yeah. Yeah,
that sounds cool.
That does sound cool.
Are you planning on sort of doing that at Edinburgh anytime soon, or is it, or maybe?
Well, I'm doing Brighton Fringe, Leicester Fringe, and all that, all that sort of stuff.
Test the waters.
Yeah. Well, I know it works. Like, because the maddest, I don't know if you've ever found this, I get the, not just the best reaction, I get the most interesting reaction than I do at a club show. I'll go, "Oh, you were very funny," and I can hear the subtext of, "And I will never remember you ever again."
Yeah.
Whereas this, partially because of what I've done, but because of the illustration that Olaf and Tom have done, it's really memorable. And people, like...
Also, it looks like a show.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like, rather than just someone on stage riffing, it just looks like this is a production.
Yeah.
Which does make a difference when people sit down and go, Oh, there's a clipboard there. Oh, I'm sure it's not a clipboard. What do you call it?
Yeah, it's like an A.
It reminds
frame.
A bit of Badil and Skinner Unplanned, where he's writing while, but he's drawing it.
Yeah, there's a few people who've had like live illustrators, and like, I mean, like Olaf does. He does it for the money, not for the love, but he does it at conferences and stuff. If there are like cool hip tech startups,
Henry Packer did it in a show.
Yes, of course he did
in the Banshee Labyrinth in 2006.
He wasn't live illustrating, was he? It was like his illustrations were. Wasn't he like showing like clips of his illustrations?
I got a feeling when the audience came in, he was live illustrating. I wasn't,
maybe he was.
Yeah, he was sitting at his desk.
That's cool. Oh, great. So have you done a few of these yet?
Yeah, so I've done, so I did them at the Vault Festival last year, and that was great. And then I'm sort of, next year I'm aiming to do comedy festivals and hopefully try and get them at some summer festivals. And I want to get videos and photos and go to a producer and be like, I'm dead good at this. Let's go on tour.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But it's weirdly, it's quite a hard elevator pitch, because the minute you say storytelling to a art centre programmer, they're like, that'll be dull. And the minute you go improv, they go, well, I don't know if you can
There's
do
no
it.
Guarantee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though I'm like, no, I've done this for 15 years. I'm really good at it.
You need them to see it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I need. So it's like 2024 is a building year. 2025, it's a touring year.
If you take
it
to Edinburgh, a lot of theatre... what do you call it? People that work at theatres, they go around and they do look for stuff, don't they? So if you can get them in, then...
But I've worked really hard to not be broke.
You don't want to go to Edinburgh again?
I don't.
Not even Free Fringe, no?
I just...
Then you've got family and stuff.
I got family.
Also, by the way, I've just had the email through about the prices for the accommodation 2024. So...
Really?
Yeah, I'm not going, but you are.
So. Is it crazy price?
Well, at this stage, and they've pulled this trip before, but they've doubled them.
What?
Yeah.
They pulled that trick. They did it a few years ago.
Did you reply?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just waiting to see.
I said, actually, Mark says he'll have two. Yeah. So, I mean... it is what it is. It might come down. They're claiming that these are the discount rates as well, but, you know...
Sure they are.
But if you say the last 4 years we've had at this price...
Yeah.
It worked last time.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, I'm hoping my in-laws live in Stirling, so if I can sort of persuade them to look after my children for a month.
Yeah, well, that's really quick on the train, because we did a tour show in Stirling, and about, what, 40 minutes on the train? Yeah.
Oh, wow, where did you do in Stirling?
It was toll booth.
Well done.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it was the old...
toll booth.
Wasn't it the old, like a prison or jail or something?
Oh, wow. Nice. Did you have a look around really Stirling as well?
Didn't really have that much time. No, but it's a cool place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks nice.
It's not.
No. Oh, is it not?
No, it's like Scotland's old capital. So it's got a really cool castle and a really cool monument, but the centre of Stirling is a bit sad.
Okay. Yeah, I just got off the train, went to the gig and went back.
That's the classic comedian's tour.
But to be fair, beautiful plate of food from the theatre.
Oh, yeah.
And a shower.
Treated very nicely.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. They provided towels.
Certainly did, Mark.
Whoa. That's a sign of a good theatre. So
that is a sign of a good theatre. Yeah. Is that how you guys spend your time on tour? You're just in, like, in gowns.
We got
in
robes.
Yeah. Cucumbers on the eyes.
And tea with lemon in it.
So when you're doing this show... So you know you don't need material for that. But do you still write jokes and stick them in your notes or something?
So when I'm... When I'm emceeing, I will have... I'll always try and do the last 2 minutes before I bring on the first performer will be jokes, so I tune the audience's ear to what punchlines sound like.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
But also, if there might be jokes that aren't good enough for my set, but if I can see a way in riffing and go, oh, that'll fit there, I put it in and a 6 out of 10 suddenly becomes an 8 out of 10. Because it's so quick and it looks, fuck, he just wrote that there.
Nice.
And there's some off-the-peg things. Like I've heard Ross Noble talk about, he might start with the same observation. I don't know, if there's a bit like one of my go-tos, if there's a big tough guy in the audience, kind of like, you know, tattooed and that, I'd be like, oh, it's lovely to have Serbia's premier serial killer in the front row. Hello, Bogdan, how you doing?
Yeah.
So I might sometimes start with that, but it'll go to a completely different place.
Mm. Depending on their reaction and whatnot.
Yeah. But the big thing, so about when I did it for the first time, before about 6 weeks out, I sort of had... the 6 week panic in June, and I went, I've got nothing. I'm going to go up to Edinburgh and I'm going to do 50 minutes of nothing. And I thought, well, I can't get a director. So I thought about what I was doing and I chatted to a mate. And in the end, I had a couple of sessions with a sports psychologist because I was like, well, what I'm doing is basically like 24 matches of 50 minutes, and I need, the first five will be easy because I'll be in it. But when I'm tired and I feel spent, like, I need something to get me in the game.
Well, that's very interesting. What did you take from that?
It was the biggest thing was about a pre-show routine to get me in the right mood and the right headspace to sort of leave the world behind and get my game face on. And mantras. So she's worked with like tennis players who will have the same mantra when they're serving. And even when they're like bouncing the tennis ball, will like bounce it in a rhythm and the rhythm will be a mantra. Mm. And they'll, depending on your personality, they'll develop it that way. So, yeah.
And combine that with a power move as well. Did they do power moves?
Yeah, they do.
First serve.
Like Dal Sim in Street Fighter 2.
That's a niche. Wait.
Niche podcast.
You won't be able to hear what that is, but...
I did. I heard it through the headphones. It was lovely.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was
pretty loud. It was quite loud. So what, have you got any jokes that you've you brought with you?
I do.
What's the vibe? Are they jokes you've tried and haven't quite worked, or you're working on?
It's a mix, because I do, like, every compare or crowd work person says this, like, I'm also a proper comedian.
That's that classic when you come off, you're emceeing a night, and an audience member goes, oh, you should try being a comedian.
My favourite one.
But it's the most important job on the bill, bloody hell.
Yeah, with a goalkeeper. Yeah. If no one notices what you do, you've done a good job, but if they do notice you are fucked up.
That's a great analogy. What's your favourite one?
My favourite goalkeeper.
I stepped on you. You said,
it happens both, particularly after the Fablemaker show. People go, oh, that was a great show. And the way you remembered all those names. And I'm like, yeah. And do you remember the bit where I was really funny about them for 50 minutes as well?
Nobody's memory. Because people do have trouble remembering names.
Have you got techniques for name recognition?
Really, really simple one. Genuinely part of it is muscle memory, and my brain is just good at it now because I've done it for a decade and a half. But if I meet him, I'm like, hello, what's your name?
Danny,
nice to meet you. Danny. Everyone, this is Danny. Hey, Danny, very nice to meet you, Danny.
Say it a lot.
Yeah, basically it's that, and no one notices if you do it.
If there's no one around to meet Danny.
Yeah. Well, it's just me and him eyeballing each other on a date.
Yeah, everyone, meet Danny. And he's looking around, there's no one there.
Tumbleweed.
But you would remember that.
Yeah. You would.
Yeah.
You would. But I've got a mix of like stories that didn't work and one ideas for one-liners and stuff. I think my main thing is like silly ideas that I can't find the punch with.
Yeah.
I was chatting to Rob Broderick about this, who does a band of man, and literally we feel like our brains are wired for the panic of being in the moment. If you want me to be in the moment and just riff on your baseball cap or your headphones, I'll be there and I'll come out with stuff. But then you can't repurpose that moment for another show.
Yeah. If you try to write material about a baseball cap sitting at your desk, it wouldn't
come. Doesn't happen, yeah. Yeah. And I've started like trying to write, and this seems so obvious, but I used to write on my computer and they'd come out like essays. So I try to write as I speak, but still it's just those big leaps are hard.
So what you got?
So the first one, I'll start with one really new one and one really old one. So a new one, it's almost there and I can't quite work out what it is. So about how posh people lead a different life to us. So I was I was chatting to a guy about how he spent his gap year, and he said he went to a Swiss finishing school. It's like, oh my God, imagine your mum and dad love you and they sent you to Dignitas.
That's excellent.
That is good. You know, if it doesn't work, it'll just be because people don't like death jokes, do they, Mark?
That is true. But I can't see why that doesn't work. So Swiss finishing school is excellent. Yeah. How do you do the punchline?
So I haven't quite worked out how I tell it yet, but it's about posh people being weird.
Maybe you're taking it too far in the setup of... posh people are weird. Maybe it's just I know a posh guy, and told me that he in his gap year went to a Swedish finishing school, or some people call it Dignitas.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Just real bum.
Because you're almost sort of making a thing, because it is just a silly joke. That's a really good one liner.
Yeah, it's a proper one liner.
So it's you're making people think it's going to be a story or something a bit more to it, maybe. Unless you've got loads of stuff linked to that setup, which you then go on to.
I've got a couple. Well, funnily enough, I've got a couple of jokes after it that work really well. But
Swiss finishing school.
Well, also, I was so proud of that. I never write jokes like that.
Do you think? Do you think you need to say Switzerland so everybody?
Yeah, because it's Switzerland where they go.
Yeah, but I know Swiss is, but it's associated Switzerland and Dignitas.
Yes.
Whereas I'd never heard anyone say Swiss and Dignitas. Do you know what I mean? That slight connection.
What do you think I could say? I said, what do you do for gap year? I went to a finishing school. Finishing school in Switzerland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so put Switzerland as close to Dignitas as possible.
Yeah.
And you're not saying it twice. You're saying Switzerland and Swiss.
No, don't say Swiss at all.
You
don't need to say Swiss.
I went to a finishing school in Switzerland. What? Yeah. Dignitas?
Yeah. But the actual fact that it's closer to Dignitas, I hadn't even thought about. I just meant the connection with Swiss and Dignitas. Because no one says Swiss Dignitas, they say Switzerland. It's always Switzerland for that.
Oh, right, just literally the word.
It's like, I think when I say Swiss, you think of like Swiss bank or Swiss watch.
Or Swiss cheese. Or army knife.
Or army knife. In fact, everything but Dignitas. But when you think of Dignitas, you do think of I'm going to Switzerland.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. But they're there in Dignitas with the army knife just going, and how would you like to die?
Yeah.
Corkscrew to the brain, please.
That's a nice riff. So you do the punchline and then you riff it.
Yeah, that's completely what it is.
That's great.
Get the toothpick a million times. There's loads you could do there.
There's loads. Yeah. Well, no, the one that I had is about, I think you should have a premium service if you're sending your parents there where you can choose the type of death that they have. So if you're like, granddad was lovely, so he gets the good drugs. Grandma was a bit racist, so she gets mauled by an XL bully.
Right.
I think that was a bit of fun.
So how many times have you tried that?
That I've tried 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. That thing, that's one of those jokes that it will 100% work. And if it doesn't, it just needs rewording a few times because that's a perfect... It's great. Swiss finish. It's a really funny idea, I think.
Finishing school in Switzerland. Yeah. Finishing school in Switzerland. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's... Because
you could do it the other way around. I don't think this is better. Mm-hmm. But you could always sort of go... I don't really like the idea of Dignitas. I think it sounds nicer to call it a Swiss finishing school. You could go that route as well. I don't think it's better, but if it doesn't work the other way, it's always worth trying a different route.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did have a really stupid joke that I do. I do at comedy club for kids, and I'd throw this one in for the adults about what they call like ethical mouse traps, which are like the like sticky bits of paper that the mouse gets stuck in. And what you do is you fold it up and put it in a post box and send it to a mouse in Switzerland. No, to a cat in Switzerland called Dignimouse. And it's
nice.
It's really stupid. And the children be like, "Why are you laughing, Daddy?"
I think there's a funny. That's great. That works, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that one works.
I think it's quite funny because what I thought about when you were saying about that, it being a humane way of doing it. But if you forget it's there, you've actually just made it starve to death, which is actually much worse. Which I think is another funny angle.
Wrapped a mouse.
And you just go back and go, it's just a skeleton.
I never thought of that, a stupid one, because my mate who put them out, he lived on the 7th floor of flat, so he'd like come home, see the mouse there, open the window and throw it out there, and it would look like Aladdin on a magic carpet, floating, just put a little fez and a waistcoat on it.
What's the old one you got?
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah! What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The old one, I feel like I've talked to you about this before, because I've had this idea at least a decade, and I know there's a thing in it, and I don't know how to make it. I don't know where to go with it.
I love these, so the ones that really annoy you and they stayed with you.
So I guess if I were to tell it as a joke, it would be I went fishing with the worm from a tequila bottle, caught a unicorn.
Hang on. Fishing with a worm.
Or caught a mermaid, I guess.
Why is it caught a mermaid?
Because this is the thing.
Never spoke to me about this. I don't know this.
So that's in its simplest possible form. But so basically, the worm from a tequila bottle is meant to be hallucinogenic.
Well, then that's a very important
piece of information that I know and not everyone does.
I think that means that won't work, because not enough people will know that.
So you need to put that information.
You can put the information in there at the front somehow, could you?
But if you do that, don't you? Isn't it spoon feeding too much?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Because if you say it's hallucinogenic, then the audience aren't doing any work. Yeah. Essentially, you're just telling them a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? I'll be honest. I didn't know that it was meant to be hallucinogenic.
No.
I'd never heard of that.
I thought that was really common knowledge.
I've heard of the worm in the tequila bottle thing, but are they what bottles are they in? I've never seen it. Or have I?
What's that? You've never seen worms in a tequila bottle?
No.
Really?
Is it a real worm?
Yeah, it's a real worm.
It's dead.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
it's stuck to it in a humane alcohol poisoning. Yeah.
unless I'm being really dumb and I'm mixing it up with wormwood and absinthe, which was the thing that made that hallucinogenic.
Oh, I think you're probably right.
I've got some intel. I don't want to look like I'm shitting on anyone's chips here. I just put in worm in tequila bottle and it came up. Worm in a tequila bottle affect you. Finally, as long as we're busting myths, here's another one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Does eating the worm cause hallucinations? Nope. If you start seeing things after eating the worm, it's probably more to do with the mezcal you've had to drink than the actual lava.
But that doesn't matter.
No.
That's not the issue with the joke.
No, it's because whether but the thing is, if it's a myth, if it was a well-known myth, you'd be absolutely laughing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I didn't know that, and yeah, so that's fun. It's annoying, isn't it? Because it's technically, it's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But you do have to rely on.
It's bloody annoying, that, isn't it? When people are stupid. I didn't know it either.
Yeah, you just wish everyone knows everything, and then there's no issue.
Because I like to find. There's something really nice about having a really everyday topic and finding an angle that no one's ever found before. Yeah, but equally, I'm an absolute bugger for weird trivia. Like, I love it. And I want to... I love comics who are able to go, here is a really esoteric subject and I'm going to do it in a really mainstream club.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess, have it work.
I guess there's techniques of trying to... I guess if you can then riff off the back of people not getting it and you know there's a joke there, then you can allow 20% of the audience to laugh at the first bit and then take everyone else with you. But yeah, that's frustrating. But no, I don't think that would ever work. Sorry, mate. No,
I love that you're the joke adjudication panel.
I know, yeah.
No, do you know what? That is a joke.
You are no longer allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I've got a gabble over there, look.
You got a what?
A gabble.
You have actually. Gabble, not gabble.
Yeah, you got that from my flat when I moved in. That was just left there, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Along with a cookbook.
He had that. It's all right. Oh, I'm having that. Going, gone.
Have you got one more?
I'll level with you. This morning I was like, I don't know if I've got that many. And then I looked through some old notes and notebooks. I was like, I've got so many lads that need putting out their misery. Right. This is what I've got sort of one or two more. This is one that I really feel should work. So, like the core bit of my set that is like the best bit of my set is all the stuff about me being Jewish and just daft things around that. But I've got a joke about beer. So, and how beer is brewed by Belgian monks in a rest. So, you know, like stuff like Hoegaarden and Leffe is brewed by Belgian monks. Why this beer was brewed by Belgian monks in a recipe going back 800 years. No one suggests this was brewed by three atheists from Hoxton in a recipe going back 3 months, thought up after a ket bender. And you don't get... But monks are the only religious people who make beer. You don't get going, oh, this cigar was rolled on the thighs of a rabbi. Which I feel should work. Yeah, and audience is just like, no.
No?
And I've tried imams, I've tried nuns, I've tried shaman.
So the only thing I've got an issue... Because my issue is the monks thing, that didn't resonate with me at all. No. As in, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, that's one of those ones I do know.
But you established what it was. And so I understood. And then I laughed at the examples afterwards, which I think is... I was thinking of Friar Tuck when you were saying that. Was he a monk?
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't real, but he was a monk.
Yeah, wasn't he?
No. Well, he was a friar, which is a kind of monk.
Yeah.
No, man, he's part of Robin Hood. It was made up.
Really?
I hate to break it to you. Robin Hood is made up, Mark.
There's an element of... Locksley was a... There was a...
It was just Kevin Costner, mate, in a...
in
a costume.
I thought there was some kind of little...
Well, I've been robbed here because I went to... I went to Sherwood... I wasn't robbed in not Sherwood Forest, but Sherwood Forest exists, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's fucking... All covered in Robin Hood.
Yeah. But the film that everyone slates, but I actually quite like, the one with... Russell Crowe. I thought that was more based on a truer thing, that there was someone called Robin of Locksley.
No,
but is that actually...
What about Maid Marian?
Can you fact check that? While we were talking about that, I was just trying to think of a punchline. I've got a punchline, air fryer tuck, but I don't know what's the setup for that.
Where does Robin Hood cook?
Because fryer tuck was a bit unhealthy, wasn't it?
What
do you call the healthy one? Air fryer tuck.
Lovely.
There you go. That's pretty good.
Is that what happens? Do you just have to punchlines just occur to you and you're like, oh God, I've got to work backwards now?
I spoke about that in a previous podcast. A lot of people do that, but I don't. I tend not to. But then that just came to me. But then it's not a good joke. It's a fun joke, but it's a... You're more likely to get a groan from that, I think, than anything else.
Good.
That's cracking.
All right.
So where can people find you?
So if they want to find clips of me, they can go to @Vanderlaff on Instagram. If they want to see me live, go to goodshipcomedy.com, because that's my little empire of comedy clubs. And if they want to listen to me, you can listen to my podcast, Worst Foot Forward, which is an encyclopedia of heroic failure.
Brilliant. Check that out. And Good Ship is actually where I did my notorious, I spoke about it on here quite a few times, the nudist gig that we did together.
You did? I literally did a nudist gig on Tuesday night.
Same group.
Same group.
Oh, now you tell us. Yeah. Tom Toll's outside. I want to hear about this now.
Well, that'll be next time you come in. Anything more from you, Danny? We're going back. Hang on. And we are... We just put a load... I fucked it.
Come on, get it together, mate.
So we are going back out on tour, same tour, Crip Off The Mark in 2024. Tickets are on sale now. Go to marksimmons.co.uk. Anything more from you, Danny?
Yeah, follow me on social media. It's the second time. Danny Ward Comedy.
They're not going now, mate. He's exasperated, isn't he?
I am exasperated.
Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from you, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. And remember,
be more Gareth.
Hashtag Awooga.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.